The sermon greeting this morning is the text for our Easter sermon. We read in the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John in the first chapter, verses 4-6. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, our risen and ruling Savior. A greeting sets the stage for something. If you've ever gone to a funeral home visitation and the people dressed all in black at the door greet you somberly with a good evening or a hello, there are no surprises. We know to expect death. Now, think of the greeting that Jesus' soul received after he gave up his life on the cross. When his father, like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, but for entirely different reasons, was so filled with joy that his son had come home, God the Father said to his son, "Welcome home, son. You've completed the work that I gave you to do. Welcome home. And at the end of 3 days, I will raise your body from the grave, just as I promised." That greeting for Jesus left no confusion in his mind. His father was not going to let his Holy One see decay, but would raise him from death, would exalt him to the highest place to rule over all things. That greeting set the stage for grace and peace that you and I enjoy in Jesus' resurrection. As the women stood at the entrance to Jesus' tomb, his empty tomb, they were greeted with good news. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. The women were surprised, as people always were in the presence of angels. They were afraid. And yet the angel's message set the stage for all of their comfort, for all of their joy, and for all of their hope. Because it is the Easter message, a message that knows no bounds of time. It is an eternal message. It is a timeless message, this Easter message that we celebrate today and really commemorate every Sunday when we worship, because we worship on account of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. When you and I hear those words, grace and peace, there are no surprises. We know that they set the stage for our comfort, for our joy, and our hope, because it is the gospel, a timeless Easter message. We see, first of all, that timeless Easter message is a message of peace and grace. And it is a message not from men, but it is a message from God. Some messages cause fear and trembling. I remember back in the day when some of my classmates received a greeting from their draft board during the Vietnam War, and that greeting worked fear and trembling in their hearts. How many of you, after April 15th, would look forward to receiving greetings from the IRS? Greetings! We wanted to know you made a mistake on your taxes. Such a greeting might work fear and trembling in our hearts. The Christians to whom John wrote down the revelation that the risen Christ had given him were living in times of poverty and persecution. They were living in times of rejection and being abused by those who rejected Christ, both Gentile and Jew. And, like us, they were suffering under the guilt of the many sins that they committed. For their times, they failed to live up to be the children of God that God wants them to be. And while all this was going on, the Apostle John had been exiled to a rock pile out in the middle of the Aegean Sea. And it was there that the risen and victorious Christ appeared to him. But in spite of all the things that were happening to him and to God's people, in spite of all of their sins and all of their failures, we notice the greeting that Jesus gave them. He didn't greet them to yell at them. He didn't greet them to strike fear in their hearts. But he extended to them a timeless Easter greeting. Grace and peace to you. And what did that set the stage for in their hearts? The assurance of the forgiveness of sins. The assurance that when their life of tribulation and crosses ended, they would enjoy the perfection of heaven. It assured them that God was still with them and was watching over them. All of this undeserved love, all of this quietness of heart and spirit in the reconciliation between God and men, that was the Easter, timeless Easter greeting that Christ gave to them. Those are the same expectations that you have with a sermon. That's why we pastors are taught to, in the greeting of the sermon, generally use one of those timeless Easter greetings. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father. Or grace, mercy, and peace be yours from our Lord Jesus Christ. All of those greetings are a restatement of the timeless Easter greeting of the angels. He is not here. He is risen. It's a repeat of the message that Jesus gave to the whimpering, frightened disciples hiding behind locked doors on Easter night. When Jesus appeared to them, what were the very first words out of his mouth? Peace. Here he was, the risen Christ, the living Savior, the grace of God, now bringing peace to them. Jesus' beating heart is the essence of the Easter greeting. John gave his believers this greeting to hang their faith on every day of their lives as they had to bear their crosses. And even when God rebuked them for their sins, even when God calls us to daily repentance for our sins, he does it in the context of the resurrection. He does it in the context of that timeless Easter greeting, grace and peace. Our believing hearts greet us every morning, don't they, with those words. We wake every morning to those blessings of undeserved love in Christ and assurance that God has reconciled us to himself. And so when we go off to work, when we go off to school, when we go to the doctor's office to find the results of those tests, when we have to go over to one of our members of our family's homes and deal with an issue or a problem or some unpleasantness that has come up in the family, we do all of those things with those words, grace and peace, echoing in the back of our minds and hearts. The message of the angels, he's not here, he's risen. The message of Jesus to John, that John gives to us, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the sevenfold Spirit, from the Son, the firstborn from the dead. John knew that grace and peace will also be Christ's greeting when he comes again. Our sermon text for this morning is also part of one of the lectionaries for the last Sunday of the church year, when we look forward to Jesus' return. How we look forward to that day when the trumpet sounds and our Savior returns and we hear him say, as he said to those disciples, grace and peace be to you. He comes in glory to take us into the heavenly kingdom forever. So that timeless Easter message of the angels, of Jesus and John, that timeless Easter message that is ours, is that message of God's undeserved love that has forgiven all of our sins. Jesus was perfect for us. He offered the perfect sacrifice for us. He died our death, suffered our punishment, and as his reward, the Father exalted him both as God and as man. And that greeting now that comes to us is not from a human being, but it is from God. Listen again. Grace and peace to you. From him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Notice all three persons there of the Trinity. What one person does, they all do. The Father gives us grace and peace. He sends us the seven spirits, a reference to the Holy Spirit, most likely in reference to the sevenfold gifts that the Spirit grants to the church. He speaks about the Son, the firstborn from the dead. The word firstborn has the idea of the source, the precursor, the first one that guarantees more. Jesus' resurrection is the reason for our physical resurrections from the dead. Our Lord Jesus has defeated the last enemy, and that enemy is death. Maybe you've heard somebody use the expression, "I own that guy." What does that mean? It means I have complete and control and total control over him. He cannot do anything that I don't tell him to do, that I won't let him do. He cannot act in any way in relation to me independently. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is where Jesus says, "Death, I own you. I am in complete control over you. You cannot act independently. You cannot do anything that I do not command you to do or agree with you to do. And most of all, you will not hold my Son. And because of that, you cannot hold my people either. My people, my believers, will rise to new life, will rise when that mortal has put on immortality, when they rise to be like me in that glorified state." And that son owns also all the kings of the earth, all the rulers of this world. Jesus Christ is in complete control over everything that happens in this world. That doesn't mean that he makes evil happen. It doesn't mean that he doesn't permit those who oppose him to oppose him. But it means that he is in control, and in the end, he will have the final say and judgment over all. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead means the Father has accepted the Son's sacrifice, and the Spirit gives us that in the means of grace. Our God in Jesus Christ loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. Our risen Lord speaks to us in his word, and by that word he gathers us into his kingdom. By that word of God, he creates that new life in our hearts. And by that word, he will one day raise our bodies from death. God's timeless Easter greeting, grace and peace to you, it leads to no surprises. We know exactly what to expect from that. We know what that greeting sets the stage for. It sets the stage for my comfort. It sets the stage for my joy. It sets the stage for my hope. We know what to expect. The forgiveness of our sins, our resurrection from the dead, and our life everlasting with Jesus in heaven. And because of that, then, we echo the Easter response of John, "To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen."